We'll read a little in the first epistle to Peter, 1 Peter and the first chapter. Verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. We'll end our reading there, because I want you with me to look into many other scriptures during this time together here this afternoon. I want our thoughts, by God's grace, to turn around this great truth of inheritance. The word appears in verse 4. And you will have noticed that this inheritance is Jesus Christ's, kept for us, who are kept for it. That's it. That's really what Peter has said, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, verse, the end of verse 3, to this inheritance. And this inheritance is incorruptible, it's undefiled, and of course undefilable, praise God, and that fadeth not away, hallelujah for that, and it's reserved in heaven for you, glory for you, and it's all going to be revealed in the last time. This which is his, kept for you, revealed in the last time. Now, I suppose we need to glory in God this afternoon that it isn't the last time yet. Praise God, we don't quite know what the time is, so explicitly. I mean, lots of people would have us believe it's 5 to 12, or perhaps even a minute to, or something like that. We don't exactly know what the time is. But in the time, the last time, this is all going to be revealed, really, in common with the rest of the New Testament writers. Peter is saying that in the great heart of God, in the provisions of God for us, looking at us and then on through time into eternity, God had no different thought in his heart for Jesus than for us. This is the wonder of it all. Of course, in position and in glory, and isn't he in his eternal and everything else of that, then our Lord Jesus Christ is completely unique. But then you see, because a unique Saviour has come to earth, there is a unique people. And this is the great thing that the Lord would have us understand. And so then, with this in our hearts, we're going to investigate some great, great scriptures. Because, beloved, it is a lamentable fact that many, many, many people are living far below their inheritance. And this is the thing that we need to look into, in case it should be that there is anyone among us here this afternoon who hasn't really a clue what the inheritance is anyway, so much so that if I set a questionnaire in your hand and I never asked you to write a thesis or even an essay, but I put down a questionnaire and I asked you to answer some direct questions, I often get this thing set in front of me in most people, when they're asking you to give references to people. Now, they don't let you sprawl through two sides of a foolscap telling them the things they don't want to know about the person you're trying to recommend. They set down a lot of questions and they say, now you tell us on this background exactly what you can about this person. You see, and this is what happens. It's a very common form in these days. And if I set this questionnaire in your hand, I wonder whether you would be able to put a tick against many of the questions I asked you on a positive line, and how many you would have to put against the questions along a negative line. Are you in this inheritance? Or supposing I said to you, now write an essay on it. What is this inheritance? Have you a clue? Now, beloved, we're supposed to have a clue, because in our hands or on our laps we have our Bibles, and it's all in here, as we shall see. It's all here. We're told, we're not left to guess. God does not consider that his people ought to be in the land of guesswork about this. Leave alone in the land of ignorance, but in the place of certain knowledge. And not only in certain knowledge about it, as alas it's possible to be, without being in the land of absolute possession of it too. Enjoyment of it. By God's grace. Of course. Now, look with me back into the Gospels first of all. If we go into Matthew's Gospel, you may read about it in both Mark and in Luke, for this is a very important thing, but I want you to turn with me into the 21st chapter. By the way, if our sister's not comfortable on the floor, and I don't know how I could be. There are plenty of seats up here that
well,
would come
to.
Oh, are you right? Thank you very much. I hope you've got a nice soft cushion. And in this Gospel according to Matthew, in the 21st chapter, you may read it in other Gospels too. You know that you have the story of the parable of the vineyard. It commences in verse 33. And you know that the story is that the Lord's telling the householder planted a vineyard, hedged it round about, digged a wine press, built a tower, let it out to husbandmen, went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants, beat one, killed another, stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first. And they did unto them likewise. But last of all, He sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, here's the African section, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. Now, I've already drawn your attention to the fact of the son's inheritance. We'll come back to it in a moment. But here's this position. They saw that the Lord Jesus Christ, through his own mouth, he was telling them. It's remarkable how he read their hearts, isn't it? And how in his wonderful stories he told them exactly. And so you see, you must never, never, never think that these people really crucified Jesus Christ because of their ignorance. They crucified him because they knew who he was. They said in their hearts, of course. He told them what their hearts were saying. He always said that. He said they knew that he was the heir. They knew that, you see. Same as when Pilate said, art thou so and so? He said, thou sayest it. He read his heart. Pilate's heart was saying the truth, but he tried to phrase it in a question, as though he didn't know. This is always the deception of the human heart that the Bible speaks of. It's desperately wicked. It will lie and lie and lie. So consistently has it turned away from the witness within that it will make out it doesn't know. Do you see? And it will keep on asking questions if it can deceive the one that it's asking. To make out, oh poor me, I don't know. Do you see? The mind may remain untaught, for God has never failed where the spirit is concerned. And that's a tremendous thing to understand. These people said, this is the heir, let's kill him. We'll seize on his inheritance. Nay, you can't get your inheritance that way. You understand that? You can't get this inheritance that way. Nevertheless, it is the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I are to have. Of course, in common with so much that is popular even in our day, these people were looking at the inheritance as just a sort of material possessions that they had all around them. You may trace this out. It's a good idea. You take this word of inheritance and the truth of it and trace it through your Old Testament, and you will see how they came to this idea. You will see it if you just thoughtfully read it through, how they came to this completely materialistic thing. Our plot of earth, our grapevines, our this, our that. It's the same old story. The human heart hasn't altered through centuries. Only Jesus Christ can alter it. Praise his name. But this isn't the thing, for if you go back to the Peter word that we read together, you will see that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to this inheritance. And they were thinking of something before his death. Do you see this? Let's kill him. There you are, he was still alive. But Peter is speaking by the great revelation of the Spirit. And remember, beloved, that Peter was in this great inheritance. He was living in it. Amen. And he knew what he was talking about. That Jesus Christ had to die. And that Jesus Christ had to be raised from the dead to an inheritance. Bless God that when Jesus hung on the cross, beloved, and he cried, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Praise God. He was still very much alive. Glory. His body died. His spirit left his body. And so he was supposed to be dead. And well, he really was physically. And they laid him in the tomb. But glory to God. He had to rise again into an inheritance. This is the thing that he was talking about in John 17. Now, Father, come I to thee. Amen. Oh, this is what he was going to, you see. It was this joy that was set before him. Glory. This that was so much greater and fuller beyond the cross, through the tomb. That which he was going to rise into. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, beloved, this great and vast inheritance is, as Peter says, it's for us. Turn with me into the Hebrews letter now. And in the first chapter of the Hebrews, we read God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. In these last days he spoken unto us by his Son. It's a tremendous thing. Actually, the word his isn't there in the Greek. It spoke to us in Son. In other words, God is talking now in sonship. Amen. Of course, he spoke to us through the eternal word, the Son, in the beginning. But now all that God is saying is Son, 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 Son. Is it dawning on you? Sonship, 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 sonship. This is what God is speaking to us about in these days. Speaking to us in Son, not in the Bible. See? In Son. The Son's greater than the Bible. The Bible's all about the Son. Hallelujah. He's speaking to us in Son. 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 He wants to say to you, Son. Can he? Everything's tied up in that. Everything, beloved, is lies there. And in this matter of inheritance, it's all there. Glory. He's spoken to us in Son. Of course we know, quite rightly, it's his Son, as this verse puts it, but there's a tremendous truth suggested even in the writing of us, a specific truth. Hallelujah. Spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, and so on. No, this is the tremendous thing, beloved. The angels were never spoken to directly like that. Thou art my Son. But you see, Jesus could be addressed by God the Father. Thou art my Son. And so he, in the great line of God, in his movings to mankind, he inherited the name, and it was the name Jesus, and you will know that Jesus means Jehovah's Savior. Jehovah had moved in salvation all the way down through the years, and then came the Son into the world, and he inherited the name Jesus, Jehovah Savior. He comes into the world, and Matthew says, it is he which will save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus then. That's right. That's right. I just changed it round a bit, but that's what it says. That's it. He inherited this tremendous name, Jesus. Oh, glory. Now I want you to see, beloved, that in this great realm of inheritance, it doesn't come by creation. He never begot angels, he created them. See, he begot his son. He never begot Palestine, he created it. He never begot Canaan, if you want to use the word in its much more spiritual and luscious truth to our ears. Alright? He never begot it, he created that. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. And here, beloved, we're in the great line of God's begetting. We're in the line of inheritance. Our glorious Lord Jesus, he inherited this great name of Jesus. 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 He inherited the name. Amen. Oh, and how he filled that name out. That's the tremendousness of it. He fulfilled everything he had. He fulfilled everything he touched. He fulfilled everything that came to him. Amen. Jesus. Now, beloved, what a wonderful name that name of Jesus is. But you see, it stands for a life. Let's go back to the Philippian letter. And in the Philippian letter, this has already been quoted in prayer, I think. Yes, it has, this afternoon, in the second chapter. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess, and so on. Every knee in heaven, under heaven, everywhere, things under the earth and in the earth. Hallelujah. Glory, that makes your heart rejoice, doesn't it? Everything got to bow to that name. Eh? Hallelujah. Hope you don't think it's merely in the future. We're going to bring it all into this present now. We're only gathering up our facts at the moment. Glory. Remember, it's in the earth and under the earth, wherever you think devils go, or come from, or are going to. Alright. Glory. Doesn't matter where or what, glory be to the name of the Lord. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, this was it, beloved. This blessed Jesus, when he came into the world, think of that little baby. Think of him. He was called Jesus when he was a baby. He hadn't got a clue. Only wanted his milk like every other baby. Wanted topping and tailing every day. Just like all the rest of us when we came into the world. He hadn't got a clue. And he was given a name. He'd inherited it. And everything that was in it. He had inherited the honor and the glory. He had inherited the responsibility. He'd inherited everything in that name. And he'd got to fulfill it. He'd got to live it. For I point, perhaps we ought to look at this again, though some of us have noted it before, that the first word in verse 9 does not begin with a T, it begins with a W. If it began with a T, it would be an it would be a conclusion. Because it's a W, it's an explanation. Makes a lot of difference. He's not saying, well, because of all that I've told you, he's got the name. Oh no, he's got the name, and here's an explanation about it all. Amen. God highly exalted him. Of course he did. When he was born, did you ever hear of anybody else who had an angel choir to celebrate their birth? Did you? Ever hear of it anywhere? Who's this Joan of Arc or Winston Churchill or someone like that? Did you ever hear that these people ever had an angel choir to celebrate their birth? Or even old Marconi's first baby? Well, what happened? Nobody. What an exhortation. Glory. Amen. Eh? Wonderful. Give him a name. Call his name. Everybody, anybody else have an angel come from heaven and say, no, you call his name Tom, Dick or Harry. Ever? You hear of fanciful people getting ideas, but this is the great truth, beloved. And he was told, that Mary was told, and there it lay, beloved. He was highly exalted. He was given the name that's above every name. This baby that was born in a stable, in a manger. Glory. What an inauspicious beginning. Praise the name of the Lord. But, beloved, this is the great truth. He had the name, wherefore God highly exalted him, giving him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, and when he got old enough to understand it, and his mummy said to him, your name's Jesus, and it means Jehovah's Savior. What would you have thought if you'd have had a name like that? What would you have thought? Come on, be honest. Would your heart have sunk into your boots? Would it? Jesus wasn't given the name Jesus when he went to heaven. He had it when he came to earth. Praise God. That's a tremendous truth about it, beloved. And you see, this is the thing that the Lord is saying unto us, beloved. We've got to see it as clear as the noonday sun. Jesus, my inheritance. I am a son of God. And Jesus was raised up there to that inheritance. And up there, beloved, oh, it was all so wonderful. All that he was down here on the earth, and I know he spoke about the glory that he had with his Father before the world was. We don't know much about that. But all this glory that he had on the earth, you can trace it through his wonderful earthly life. And then crowned with glory and honor on that cross. And then raised up and glorified there at the right hand of the Father. All that, beloved. So that he could say when he was on the earth, listen, all that the Father hath is mine. All that the Father has is mine. He said. And he wasn't one of these people who acted like the elder son. And so the father had to say to him, "Son, all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine." There are so many people like that elder brother in the story of the prodigal son. All that the father has is theirs. But they never really believe it. They never really believe it. He was waiting for his father to give him a kid. And father said, "Well, everything's yours." "You never gave me a kid," he said. "A kid. A kid." A kid. And everything was his. The tragedy, beloved, with so many of us is that we're just like that man. Begging father to give us a kid. And you don't even have to ask him. It's all yours. Has it ever sunk in? So I say my prayers. I would to God we were delivered from this fetish of saying prayers. All that the father has is yours. Oh, glory. Now then, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you believe Jesus? Come on. How many of you believe him? One hand raised. The Lord bless you, sister. You go on and have everything. Let's turn into the Ephesian letter. On into this Ephesian letter. Jesus was raised up to his neck in his own glory. Oh, he said, "Father, Father, all that the Father has is mine." Now listen, he said this, and understand it well. One of the things that is the personal responsibility of the Holy Ghost, who has come from heaven to do for us, is to take these things that are Christ's and reveal them unto us. That's right. What for? So that we say, "Oh, I see it, I'm going to write a book about it." No, so that you can live. And if you don't have them, you don't live. You're dead. That's right. Glory. If you don't have them, you don't live. That's why he's called in the Roman letter the spirit of the life that's in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8. "All that the Father has is mine," he says. What's he doing? Looking at it? No, he's living it. Amen. Oh, this is a wonderful thing. Now look then into the Ephesian letter. And in the Ephesian letter, this is what we read. Or we can read so much. There's so much here, but let's have a look, shall we? We'll look down the chapter and we'll find this. In verse 11, "In him," Jesus, "we have obtained an inheritance." In him, we have obtained an inheritance. Glory. "Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance." There it is. "Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." Amen. Now this is that which the Bible is saying, beloved. This is that which the Scripture is saying, and this inheritance of ours has to do with our predestination, you see. Our predestination is this inheritance which we have on earth before we get to heaven, of the glory and life and fullness of Christ. That's what we are predestined to. This is what we have before we get to our destination. Now, beloved, it's a very wonderful thing. I want to talk to you about trains. I travel on them a good bit these days when I don't travel in nice cars, let alone to me. But I went up to London the other day in about 2.25 hours. It was a wonderful train. When I got to London, it took me 2 hours to get from Paddington to Norwood. And one of the reasons was this, that when I went up to catch my train in London from Paddington, I got to Victoria, went up to catch my train from Victoria out to Crystal Palace. My word, it wasn't long before there was a row going on. I tell you, because you know all these floods had been on, and all sorts of things were going wrong in the trains around London, the railway lines around London. And a very irate young gentleman on my right was really telling the poor ticket collector what he thought about him. The poor ticket collector, it wasn't his fault, he ran the British Railways. But this fellow apparently paid ever so much money a week to keep the British Railways. So if you hear him talking, you nearly think he owned it by the way he was carrying on. And all sorts of things were going on. But you see, beloved, at last, of course the ticket collector was being awkward as well. I mean, men have a way of doing that. I don't know about the ladies, we'll let them off. But the men have a very awkward way of being very annoying and not answering the question if they don't want to, and so on and so on. When they're unregenerate, of course. And it transpired that he could have told this irate young man that the trouble was that the train over there had a breakdown that he was supposed to be on. He said, well, it ain't no good, you know, the way the cockneys talk, getting on there and not getting to your destination, is it? He said, well, why didn't you tell me that in the first place? And so a big argument went on, and a lot of people were gathering round, and I sat on my case, which is a borrowed one, it's very good, and it support my weight. And I sat still and waited for a while. But you know, beloved, that all rose up in my heart in glorious truth. Because you see, when you get to this great truth of predestination, the fact of the matter is that once you get on that train, you're predestined. That's right. They don't break down. This is, once you're on that train, you're predestined. That's the truth. When I got on the train, you see, to come back home, I got on the train, where was I? Paddington. And it wasn't any good me wanting to get out at Reading, because it was predestined to stop first at Taunton, and that was the end of it. I couldn't do anything about it. I mean, who would have jumped out at 80 miles an hour? Or who would have pulled a communication cord? Once I get on the train, I'm predestined. I can't say, oh, excuse me, but I wanted to go to Liverpool. Say, sorry, sir, you're on the Great Western. You're predestined. You're going to Exeter. And that's the end of it. Hallelujah. Look, we're saying, oh, but here's £1,000. Sorry, if you had 1,000,000 diamonds, you couldn't change it. You're on the two rails, and you're set for Exeter. Glory. Taunton, first stop. Do you see what I mean? And there's no breakdown on the way. Hallelujah. Now, when I'm on that train, I inherit all the advantages of it. An engine that will pull me up to 100 miles an hour, pay a little extra and I get a cup of coffee. had hot water, hot and cold water to wash it. Now a nice gentleman would come along, inspect my ticket and say, thank you, sir. No change.
That's right.
Look, beloved, our inheritance and our predestination are linked. Absolutely linked. They cannot be separated. Amen. What a glorious thing this is. Oh, glory. Once I had the privilege, only once in my life, I think it might have been twice, but let me stick to the once, I'm certain. It was because I'd been a very nice gentleman and I'd married a couple of very nice people, and they were going on a honeymoon in a certain direction and I was going the same direction. So they paid for me to go on a Pullman. It's the only time I've ever been paid for a Pullman. Well, it was wonderful to sit down in the Pullman. It was gorgeous. You look what I got because of an extra $5, was it, or 10 shillings? I don't know how much it was. I didn't pay for it, but it was glorious. I had lovely white napkins everywhere. They all came along and said, sir, and I was just a poor preacher, but it doesn't matter. That was all paid for. I got it. I wasn't crowded and pushed and shoved. You see? It was all personal attention in a Pullman. Now, beloved, let some of this great truth sink into your heart. When you've been born again of the Spirit of the living God, you've inherited a wonderful name. There's only one name for that new life, and it's Jesus. You understand that? And you're here to receive in your own life, here, in that body of yours, in all your mental states and emotional states, you're here to receive to, in your physical state, to a limited extent. Because we're waiting for the redemption of the body. Well, we haven't got to wait for the redemption of the soul. That's all right. and the regeneration of the spirit. We're not waiting for those, but we are waiting for the redemption of the body. The Bible says so. It's not yet redeemed. To a limited extent, you can pull in the glory of this into your physical frame as well. But nevertheless, it's to a certain extent, and certainly to a greater extent than most people realize. But in there, you, as you are predestined by the glorious power of God, greater than 100-mile-an-hour diesel train. You are predestined to know this wonderful life of Jesus Christ. This is your inheritance. I don't know whether you're receiving your inheritance, whether you've been deceived along some line or to some measure, or to some too. If you have no right to be in heaven. There is an inheritance you can come through as clear and as clean and as pure. You can come through as separatedly or in holiness, that's your word, separation, separateness. And you can live that life that Jesus Christ has inherited there in heaven. You can live it whilst you're on the earth. This is the glorious privilege of the saints on earth. This is our inheritance. He was raised from the dead to an inheritance. Incorruptible. Note it. It can't be corrupted. Oh, you say. But corruption gets in this. Beloved, it can't in this life. If you will have this life of Jesus Christ and will have nothing but it, if you will leave all for this, if you will believe this, with all your heart as you're supposed to. Indeed, the apostles and the people of the early church wouldn't have any truck with anything else. Here's a man in a chariot. He's a chancellor of the exchequer. To Candace, queen of Ethiopia. He wants to be baptized. And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart. See that? Did you see that? Didn't say if you believe. A bit. Somehow. Something. He said, if you believe with all your heart. Man! If you give God yourself holy. That's what he's talking about. You may. Otherwise you can't be. We're too willing to pull people into baptism without with the minimum of faith, and oft times with no confession of faith at all. None at all. This is the tragedy. If thou believest with all thy heart, everything else to go. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This then, beloved, is the condition. And you see, it's precisely because men and women don't come in here that they don't get into this wonderful inheritance of Christ. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's not fading away. Indeed, to me, as I read my Bible, it has the exact opposite effect. I find it grows the brighter. Most of you with whom I have enjoyed fellowship and know me will know that I'm always looking through to the last chapters of the Revelation. We were there last night. It shines the brighter. Instead of fading, it gets more glorious to me. Hallelujah. I suppose it's because I'm getting the nearer to it, so far as time is concerned, as well as in spiritual progress. I don't know. They should go together. If not, you've wasted time. And what in the world were you born for? If not this. Hallelujah. That we might pass on into all this glory. You see, beloved, it's all so wonderful. In Jesus Christ, we're told in verse 11 of Ephesians 1, in him we've received, we've attained an inheritance. And I want you to see that it doesn't say the inheritance. It says an inheritance. You know, this is the wonder of all in ancient Israel. The inheritance was Canaan. But when they got in there, they each had an inheritance in the inheritance. They would all say, this is my bit. This is my acre and a cow, or what it was, 10 acres or 2 hills. Ask old Caleb. That was his inheritance. Let's go up there, he says. Glory. He obtained an inheritance. It was his. And the great truth behind this word that's translated inheritance is precisely that, based on this great biblical and scriptural thought that they obtained by lot. That's your Greek word. In other words, there was a casting between each so that each man had his inheritance. And in the great idea of God, in the future restoration, beloved, it's that every man shall sit down under his own vine and under his own fig tree, not under everybody's. We all own Dartmoor, we all own it. You go up there and see if you can cart some of it away and see what they'll say to you. Say, this bit's mine. I say, oh no, it belongs to everybody, it doesn't belong to you. You see, that's national trust. This isn't national trust, this is individual inheritance. Glory. National trust you can't touch, you can only look at. There are lots of Christians like that. Keep looking at it, keep looking at it, keep looking at it. It's ours, it's ours, it's ours, like the government. I don't want it. The truth is, beloved, that it's not like this in this great realm. It's mine. Amen. It's a personal possession. It isn't something that Jesus Christ has provided generally. It's something that he has provided particularly and individually. Jesus Christ was a man. Amen. Yes, he was a man like you. He had a mind. He had a spirit. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, on the earth he had flesh and he had blood. He had feelings. He had a mother, bless God. He had foster brothers or half brothers or whatever you want to call them. And sisters, no doubt about that. You see, beloved, he moved in this tremendous realm. And it's this same inheritance that you and I are to have. Glory. And it says this, that after you heard the gospel of your salvation, verse 13, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and he's the earnest of your inheritance. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't have a better earnest than the Holy Ghost, could you? He comes and he lives in you, and he does live it, beloved. When the Holy Ghost came in me, he lived this life in me. The Holy Ghost wasn't a sort of hors d'oeuvre or something like that. The Holy Ghost came to take complete possession, that I might live this life possessed of God. The Holy Ghost is the only one who can live this life. The Holy Ghost is the only one that can lead us into it. This is what Jesus said, all that the Father has is mine. He's coming to reveal it unto you. And he reveals it unto me as he lives it through me. So that I live this wonderful life that Jesus Christ is and has and enjoys now and will do throughout eternity. And that's my eternal life that he's given me. See, that's the eternal life he's given me. Have you got it? Or are you clinging to a text? Or five or six that you love very much? Of course they're precious. They make some wonderful pillows to lay your head on at night. But eternal life isn't a pillow, nor a prop. Eternal life is what God is. Glory to God. This is our inheritance, beloved. And do you wonder then that this great apostle prayed this prayer? He says in verse 16, he prays for three things. He prays for three things. What, what? Amen. There they are. They're marked out for us. Put three great lines under them. You get them in verse 18. He says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Amen. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh, bless the Lord, in the saints. Then you see, he was raised up to an inheritance. Incorruptible. Now, in the saints. You saw there's an inheritance in heaven. It's in the saints. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder I must have this seal, this great earnest of my inheritance. You see, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Fancy Jesus in heaven saying, glory, glory, glory. Look at that man down there, Father. Look at that woman there. They're living it. They've got it. They're living it. Praise God. This is the truth. And say, well, they're believing it all. Isn't it marvelous? They're believing it all. No, no, no. Jesus couldn't stop there. Person, Father said, now Jesus, just believe you. Just believe your name's Jesus. Just believe it. Just believe it. Just believe you're going to find the cross. Just believe it. Just believe it. Hey, God, that's right. What a lot of nonsense. This is the sort of stuff that's preached. Just believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Glory be to God. If that be all we are left with, we might well seek Satanism or something. We can get something positive and concrete out of it. It's positively and concretely rotten. Gone. It's a lie. What are you doing? Are you living this heavenly life every minute? I never heard of depressions in heaven. Did you? I never heard of fears and terrors in heaven. You tell me whether you've ever heard of them. I don't know that Jesus had them on the earth. Did you know he had fears and depressions and terrors and hellishness, bondages, sins, wickednesses, variations, perversions? Did you ever know? Did you ever hear it? Where's your Bible? This is it. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Most people that I know only need to really get this life in them. They soon lose all the rest that's troubling. That's my testimony to you. And I'm supposed to be a deliverance merchant. You see. And my testimony to you is that they don't need deliverance, they need to be born. Or realize that they need to be born anyway. And pass into the utmost fullness of it. That's my testimony. I can't say any different. I must tell you the truth. Get into this life. Why, somebody, who was it? Jilly, she's not here. She won't mind, but she'll hear this on the tape. My brother said, he came to me today, this good man, never seen him before yesterday. He said, have you found your Bible yet? Has your Bible turned up? I said, well, what? Here it is, I said. He said, I heard it on the tape that you'd lost your Bible somewhere in accident. I said, yeah, I've got it. It's good we're sending out your SOS, isn't it? but this is this dear sister came to me and she said, the other day, Mr. North, we are a lady, and she said the age of this lady, I don't know. She said she was 72, I think she said. And she'd been in Christian, evangelical, fervent evangelical Christian circles, been a believer all her life. And she said she listened to the tape on the marks of the new birth. And as she said, she wept, she said, where have I been all my life? That's right. Just the simple marks of the new birth. That's all. That's right. People think, so God's so insane, he hasn't told us the proof and marks of the life when you've got it. Leave us in guesswork. So as we say, well, we keep believing. I don't keep believing. I don't have to keep believing. I keep having. That's a fact. She says, don't you live by faith? Yes, that's what it is. Live. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. If your faith hasn't got to living, then you're not living by faith. Oh, the tremendousness about this, beloved, is this, that he wants you to know what, and in connection with this inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power. See, these are the three things you've got to know. What's the hope of his calling? What is the exceeding riches, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? See, these are things, the calling, the inheritance, and the power. Glory. This is the truth. Now let's go to Peter. We'll find this right through our Bibles. Isn't it good we've got Bibles? We all know we can't go wrong. In this great first epistle of Peter, here it is. It's a little bit different in the way, in the order, but the truth's the same. See, verse 15, there's the calling. Alright? Verse 4, there's the inheritance. Verse 5, there's the power. They're all there, you see? They all say the same thing. The calling, the inheritance, the power! Praise God. Here's the revelation, beloved, that you and I are to live here. And when the Holy Ghost comes to us, beloved, it's power, sheer power. It's the enabling power, for that's your word, dunamis. It simply means to enable. Ye shall receive the enabling. That's your word, dunamis. That's the exact word in the Greek. you shall receive the enabling.
Ha ha!
Glory. When they received the enabling, they all went out and said, in Jesus' name.
See? That's right.
In Jesus' name. Yeah. In Jesus' name.
It's simple, isn't it?
Say, BC this. It doesn't need a lot of explaining. You don't have to go to conferences to get hold of this. This is all written in the Bible. It's there. This inheritance. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to move in this great inheritance. Let's have a go at Romans 8, shall we? We'll see what it says in Romans 8. And in Romans 8, this is what it says. Verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. You can call yourself what you like, Pentecostal, holiness, evangelical, ritualist, any other ist or ology under the sun. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. That's it. You better believe what the Bible says. Don't try and get round it. Oh, but I believe this. Then that's how you live. Not what you believe. Oh, but I've been in Pentecost 25 years. People have come up to me and said, oh, what does that matter? What does that matter? Well, I haven't. I haven't. I've been in Christ eternally. I have. I sort of come to a realization of an eternal position I've always had in Him. But not about another time. But here's the tremendous thing. It says, if you live after the flesh, you'll die, my brother, my sister. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Of course, you can't live this life if you don't have this body of yours. See, I said to a measure in your body, you understand, I was talking about this earlier, you thought I was only talking about healing, I suppose, didn't you? In your body, if you have this beloved, your body is brought into subjection and it's mortified and you'll live. For it says that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, for as sure as you're born, the Spirit of God will lead you to do this. And if the Spirit of God hasn't led you to do this, I don't care if you talk in tongues all night, I shan't believe it. This is what he does. You see, the word "for" there. It's the common sense. It's the logic. It's the way of God. He doesn't do anything else but this. That's what that word "for" is. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What? That's what I said. He's speaking to us in son. He's speaking to us in son. Sonship. God speaking to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Precious, isn't it? They're the sons of God. You've not received the spirit of bondage. Oh no, you're not bound to do this, you're not bound to do that, you're not bound to do the other. Glory, you're free. What for? To follow the Spirit. Amen. See, all the sons are free. You're only free to follow the Spirit. You're not free to do your life. You're free to follow the Spirit. Bless him. To be led by the Spirit. Amen. As sure as you start getting led of the Spirit, beloved, you better read your Gospels and you'll see what happens when the Spirit starts leading. As soon as he got hold of Jesus and started leading Jesus, then the devil was defeated. That's right. He led him into the wilderness and he was tempted to the devil and the devil took a knockout blow. That's right. Has the Spirit ever led you to defeat the devil yet? Personally? Has the Spirit ever led you to defeat the devil? So no, I always seem to be getting defeated by the devil. I doubt whether you're led of the Spirit. Sorry. But we've got to face the Bible. It's no good. So what? I've had my baptism, but what sort of a baptism was it? some people would have us believe we're absolutely flooded and overflowed with the Spirit. When the devil knocks them down every time. What's the poor kind of Holy Ghost and Jesus and Father living in you then, isn't it? You see, this is your inheritance. This is all part of it. Because it's right on this truth. You've received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the children then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And so on. Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, I was raised up with him. And he can't sit on that throne without me. I was raised up with him. And he's got to share everything with me. That's the arrangement. That's the arrangement. That was the arrangement before he left heaven. Share everything with me. I'm a joint heir with him. See, he came down one son from glory. He takes many sons back. He's got to share it with everyone. This is right. It's all so wonderfully true and simple, beloved. And the more simple and lovely and unadult we can be, and simply borne along by the Holy Spirit into all these realms, oh, how quickly would we be rid of so much that bogs many, many people down. They can't get on in this great and wonderful life. Your inheritance, beloved, in Christ is to know his inward states, to know what it's like to be a son of God in the Son of God. That's what it is. Your inheritance is Jesus. Your inheritance is not just a place, say, in heaven. Your inheritance is Jesus. 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 You've inherited him, have you? You are inheriting him every day, are you? Mm. You're telling me, are you, that you think like Jesus does about everything? You're telling me that. Well, this is what it means. You're telling me that you act like Jesus. You're telling me that if you have to pass judgments at all, you do them like Jesus. Is this right? You transact your business like the carpenter of Nazareth. You do, do you? Nothing sharp or anything like that. Don't do that, do you? This is what you're telling me. This is your inheritance. That you've got to function inside the same as he did. By the same Spirit. From the same Father, unto the same end. This is what you're telling me. This is your inheritance. He was raised up. Think of it. Think of it. Why, for some sublime moments? Oh, sometimes they go on for hours and days and weeks. Amen. When the Holy Ghost really comes and sublimates a person, suffuses them with God and integrates them, and their life moves out and away from themselves, as it were, into God.
Hallelujah.
In those ecstatic moments, the glory of it floods the being. Transcendental. You see, this is your inheritance. And that's what Jesus went back to. So in your initial entrance, that's how it should be. As it was in him. Ooh, the flood of it all. Father, I'm coming to thee. Glorified are thee in the glory of thy heavenly before the world was. Oh, we're going back to his eternal state. We see, that's what we think of. Something right out there and something right on there. No, it was... he felt compensation for Calvary. It was wonderful. That's how you should feel when you're baptized in the Spirit. And then you go on and you live this life. Now you sort of, you call up him, then you come back down to earth again. See? And then you live this life as Jesus lived it on the earth. Of course, you've got to learn. Of course, you've got to be led. Of course, you've got to be taught. Of course, you've got to go through some real tests. We'll look at Peter, shall we? And this is what it says. The inheritance, verse 4. Incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept in the power of God. That's your word, in with a sense of rest, kept in the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, you're in heaviness. Through manifold temptation. And that's for one purpose only, so that to test your faith. You read on, just to test your faith. Now and again, the Lord will come along and he'll test your faith. See, that's right. Oh, I have done. It's the devil. He's only used. Don't worry about him, he's not important. Lord uses him now and again, and he's coming to test your faith. See? Sometimes the sort of feelings of ecstasy will go from you, and then the Lord will say, you see, because I'm stripping everything off now. Just this is the thing. I've got to see that this is right. There. Of course he knows, but he says, you come along with me and have a look at it with me, you see. It's like a teacher taking the private class and saying, do you see this leaf? And she puts it under a microscope. They used to when I went to primary. I don't think why they give them sand now. I think, but something like that. And she said, yeah, of course the teacher knows all about it. And you have a look at this, see? And you say, yeah, that's right. Yeah. The faith's still there. Glory to God. That's right. And then he says, well, now you've had a look at the bare bones again, we'll put some flesh on. You see? And you're going, have another glorious session. And you'll be tested again. Praise God. But this is the wonder, beloved, you must be living this life. Now I'm asking you whether you are. Now if you are not living this life that's reserved in heaven for you, unless you as a saint have this inheritance in you now, unless you know you have, say, well, I don't seem to find it as an inheritance, I seem to struggle. Oh, something wrong. Nobody taught me this, what I'm saying to you. I found it all inside. I tell you what I find in here. What I still find in here. See? That's how I know. This is your inheritance. Your inheritance is not to be dragged through the mud like something that cat pulled in. Your inheritance is not that. Your inheritance, beloved, is to live where Jesus lived and how he lived on the earth. That's your inheritance. That's your life. Glory. That's your predestination. Yeah. And if you go on and graduate and let God deal with you, he'll give you some gifts so that you can do the same sort of things that Jesus did. That's right. That's what he'll do. The trouble is, I always find people want to get the gifts before they got the life. That's the trouble with so many people. I find this, they hear about gifts of the Spirit, they suddenly get quickened and awakened, they go someplace where they see them operate, that's what they want, and they're encouraged to reach out for them. I should encourage you before we're through this weekend, I expect. But the thing is, beloved, we're coming in, I trust, the right way. The life is the thing that counts. It won't be much credit to you if you turn up in heaven and say, well, Lord, I performed a couple of miracles somewhere in about 1953, but I don't seem to know you. I mean, your life doesn't correspond to mine. I don't know this life. I never lived that life when I was on the earth. I don't know it. I don't know that. I never knew what it was to live as you've been living. Miserable existence, that's what I call it. I came to redeem you from it all. That's what he means when he says, depart from me, I don't know you, see? That's what he's talking about. Didn't mean to say you didn't know you were born once on the earth, that's not what he's saying. Or your name's Joe Black, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, there's no correspondence, I didn't live that life. I trust when I meet Jesus, he'll say to me, I know you, son, I lived like you lived. I lived your life, you lived mine. That's right. Been waiting for you to come. See? And the rest is poppycock. This is the truth. See? So, I always believed, Lord. I always believed. My mother taught me to believe. Well, she taught me. But she couldn't teach me to live, I'm afraid. See? Jesus had to give me life. And teach me to live. Oh, look. It's inside. Oh, what an inheritance. It makes me sink down sometimes at the knee of my knees and say, Lord, I'm predestined to live like you. Oh, glory. I don't find that a burden. I don't find that terrible. I said, oh, I've got something to live up to now. I'm a Christian and all this. But you see, this is, they preach this. Oh, now you're a Christian. You've got to live up to this and all this. And that. It's all wrong. It's all wrong, beloved. I tell you, living up to anything. It's him coming and living inside there. Oh, it's wonderful now. Just open up now. Just let God have you. Go. Go. Just let God have every part. Let him have every thought. Put everything else aside. Don't bother about anything else. Leave it all. Just give yourself up to him. Just let him say, oh, will he? Of course he will. This is what it's all about. Don't you want that? You know, once I remember in a church that I was a pastor, I met a little lady. She was a lovely little lady. She did some tremendous things on occasion when she used to come to church. I can remember her calling out and seeking God. And so I went round and visited her. And when I sat down, I sat and talked with her. She went over to a sort of bureau, little chest place up in the corner, pulled open a drawer. I could see now that she'd really got me there, but I didn't know. I didn't know when I went. She'd really got me. She was going to. She got it. She went over, of course, pulled open the drawer, pulled out some faded sheets of paper, and then it all came. See this? That's my husband. See this? That's his people. See this? He left me. See this? All went through. She'd been through a terrible time, poor little lady. But the truth is that she reckoned that she was really an heiress. This is what she was putting over to me. She was an heiress. Ooh. She'd had somebody from the Daily Mirror come to see her. Somebody else had come to see her. Somebody else had come to see her. They'd all said this and all that. I've forgotten it now. Praise God. I've forgotten it. It's Christ and the things of Christ I seek to remember. And
But this is it. You could see this little woman was fighting. She was going to have her inheritance if she could. Ooh, she'd written up to Titbits or Answers or one of these bits. She's done a lot. She was going to have her. She was going to have it. There's only some mouldy thing that's called pounds. Several thousands of them, tens of thousands of them. That's all it was, though. See what this little lady would do. See what she'd do. She'd go through court case after court case. She'd chase up newspapers. She'd do everything. She was going to have her inheritance. Unfortunately, so far as I know, she never got it. But you're here. Come on, little lady. Poor big man. What are you going to do about your inheritance? It's yours. It's yours. And you will go on living like you're living, quarreling, losing your temper, getting into sin, falling into this, scraping and scratching around. And here's your inheritance. Glory. You will have led. You will have done. That's what Paul called it anyway. Instead of gold, silver, you'll have all that. You'll get through on your own feelings and thoughts instead of the love of God that passeth all knowledge. Nobody knows how to get round it. Nobody knows how to break it. Nobody knows how to exhaust it. Nobody knows how to fritter it away. Nobody knows how to turn it into irritability. Nobody. It passes all knowledge. Now, you've always thought about that passing knowledge a different way, haven't you? Can't be done. You can live like Jesus. Tie him to a whipping post and see. Let a man abide under the lash of a woman's tongue. See how he'll get off. Or a woman under the attitude of a man. See how it should happen. Or in community here. Or in isolation there. See? This is your inheritance. To live like Jesus. Read that bit in the Bible about those who have done good and they're going to come up at the resurrection of life. What does that mean? Them who have done good and the resurrection. Oh, them that believe in Jesus. Oh no, you mustn't write a Bible of your own. Sorry, it says them that have done good to the resurrection of life. Say what? Well, there you are. It's good we've got a Bible, and you'd think I was a heretic, pure and simple, wouldn't you? Well, it's preaching works. Well, there it is. Of course, you've got to find out what sort of good thing purpose right now. We're not defining that at the moment. But here's the tremendous thing. Them that have done good. Glory. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Glory. See, people want to go healing them that are oppressed of the devil, but they don't do good. And Jesus said, well, I didn't know you. But Lord, we cast out devils in your name, but I don't know you. Where did it come from? Isn't it a good job we got a Bible? We could easily be misled, couldn't we? Your inheritance
to live Jesus. Do Jesus. Think Jesus. Be Jesus to men and women. That's your inheritance. Wonderful, isn't it? That's your predestination. Now, we can all see whether people are in this predestination or not then, can't we? You know whether I am. If you live with me, know me much. Can't tell by my preaching. At least, not much, I suppose. That can be because I know a good bit about the Bible. The truth of the matter is, beloved, that this is it. Because the Holy Ghost only knows one life, and it's the life, the eternal life of the Son. The Holy Ghost only moves in this realm. God is speaking to us in the Son. Amen. Hallelujah. Is he speaking to you this afternoon? Well, all right. Now go on and get on with it. Live it, beloved. You must let everything else go. These other things don't count. Praise God. When all needs for miracles have passed, it'll be the life that lasts. When all needs for everything else have passed, it'll be Jesus and Jesus only. But if you're here this afternoon and you know that you're in need of the Lord to minister to you, if you know positively well that you're not living in this life in the mental sphere or in the emotional realm or whatever it is that you should be and you know you ought to be, you should seek now for the Lord to set you free. He'll put you there, the Holy Ghost. He's the seal of that inheritance, beloved, sealing it to my heart, that I'm quite sure about the inheritance in the future, because I have the inheritance now. This is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we?